VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Crosstalk as it's originating live from our studio at Trail Ridge Camp, just outside of Hillsboro, Wisconsin, and keeping abreast of the critical issues that are before us. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've been keeping a watch on the news, you'll know that Iran has put President Trump and the world on notice that if the president does not remove the sanctions in Iran against Iran, they're going to engage in weapons-grade uranium enrichment, likely putting them just months away from having multiple atomic bombs. We're going to be delving into that issue today, the threats from Iran, the Trump administration response. Israel enters into the picture here as well as multiple threats coming against Israel. And with us today addressing the critical issue of this threat, we're going right to Israel. We're standing by is David Rubin. He is a former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. That's the region of Samaria known to much of the world as the West Bank. He's a founder and president of the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund that was established to heal the trauma of terror victim children after he and his three-year-old son were seriously wounded in a terror attack. He's authored multiple books, including Trump and the Jews. His websites are ShilohIsraelChildren.org and DavidRubinIsrael.com. David, thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure. Good to be with you, Jim.
David, Iran right now blaming the Trump administration for backing out of this nuclear deal, and they're saying, you know, this is what's triggering, the triggering mechanism for their pursuing this weapons-grade uranium enrichment. Wasn't this Iran's end game all along, to have weapons-grade uranium enrichment? Are they just using this as an excuse?
Oh, no, it's been very clear. They haven't been announcing it too often in English, but it's very clear. And in fact, just about a year and a half ago, I explained all this in my book, Trump and the Jews. The Israeli Mossad, the intelligence agency, the equivalent of the CIA, went into Iran, had an operation going into Iran secretly, and came out of Iran with millions of documents proving what the intention of the Iranian regime has been all along, which is, yes, to acquire the nuclear bomb and the weapon systems with which to deliver them.
This was some time ago that the Prime Minister came out with this information, and he made this very public. I mean, in his address, did the United Nations or any group ever actually act on this information?
No.
Wow.
How's that for a quick answer? That's the reality. No one has acted on that. The nuclear deal, the European countries did not act on the information. They didn't even react to it, and they acted as if Prime Minister Netanyahu was doing some intellectual gymnastics on his own, but that it didn't mean anything. And that's the great tragedy, that the world is looking the other way as this is happening. And it's only the countries that are nearby, such as Israel, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, that truly are very upset about this and very agitated. And, of course, the United States, because President Trump and his administration have proven to understand that the issue is much greater than the local Middle East problem.
The leadership in Iran, they have said that unless the U.S. lifted these sanctions, that they would enrich uranium at any grade and form and in any amount that they may deem necessary. And as you know, David, they set this self-imposed deadline of July 7th for lifting these sanctions. Now, July 7th has come and gone. What is Iran's response now since their self-imposed deadline has passed and President Trump has not lifted the sanctions?
Well, let's examine the reality. The reality is that they have already enriched uranium beyond the levels allowed in that agreement. They've been doing it for a while. President Trump just declared that today, and we know that for a fact. You know, in Israel, it's well known that the Iranians have been enriching they've been enriching uranium way beyond the levels that are allowed in that agreement, and they're aiming to go much higher. They've already passed the 3.67%. And they're on their way to 20%. They've said it, they've stated it very clearly in the past few days that they're planning on getting up to 20% within a matter of a few months. Now, once you go beyond that point, then it can only be used for a nuclear bomb. Their intention has been clear all along. They've made their intention even clearer now. And, well, now we're going to see what actually happens. Will the Europeans wake up and realize that it's going to turn their lives into a shambles if they allow the Iranians to move forward and they religiously cling to that agreement? Or are they going to wake up and join a coalition that will combat this crime of this evil country getting nuclear weapons?
Now, they have boasted that they would take this at, 20% or beyond. Are they really technically capable of doing this?
Yes. And if they're not capable right now, well, they're going to get there pretty soon. You have to remember that the reason I can't give you a definitive answer on that is because there are certain research facilities in Iran that are totally off limits. No inspectors, no international inspectors are allowed to go there. And no one is allowed to see what is going on in those nuclear facilities. And that's why the Iran nuclear deal was such a disaster, because it was a deal that didn't include the whole nuclear program. It didn't include any promise to do away with nuclear weapons, at least with North Korea and Kim Jong-un. He has agreed in principle to do away with his nuclear arsenal. And that's something that the Iranians have not agreed to. So the negotiations with North Korea, at least in principle, have reached a very good level. As far as the specifics go, we'll see as things develop.
David Rubin is our guest today. He is author of Trump and the Jews, and we're discussing Iran, a nuclear Iran, an atomic Iran. David, you have indicated that there have been some secret-level talks that are going on in a neighboring nation, Iraq, between the U.S. government officials and also some top Iranians. What do we know about these talks? When were they held? Who's involved? Tell us about these talks.
Okay, well, the meetings took place last week in a hotel in Erbil, which is the capital of Iraq's Kurdish region. And as you know, the Kurds are not well liked by the Iranian regime. So right away we know that these are not officials from the Iranian government who are in cahoots with the Iranian regime. These top officials are from within the regime, yes, but they're in opposition to many of its policies. And they were trying to reach secret understandings and cooperation with the Trump administration.
So these talks evidently then are not being done with the approval of the Iranian regime. So tell us, what do we know about an internal rebellion going on?
There definitely is. Look, we know that the people were rebelling at some point, just going back a year ago, a year to 2 years ago. There was a rebellion, there were a lot of rebellions in the streets going on, a lot of demonstrations. Those demonstrations were heavily repressed by the Iranian regime. But now we're talking about top officials in the Iranian government. For instance, the delegation to those talks last week included, were led by Hassan Khomeini, who is the grandson of the Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, who was the leader of the Islamic Revolution that overthrew the Shah of Iran back in the late 1970s. Okay, so and then he ruled Iran until he passed away. And his successor, as many of your listeners may know, is the Ayatollah Khomeini, who is similar name but different person. But he's just as radical as his predecessor. So anyhow, this delegation led by the original Ayatollah's grandson included several members of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards and the Iranian ambassador to Iraq. They sat in on this meeting with several as yet unnamed American officials.
Well, if you know about this and making this known, there are probably others within the Iranian regime who also know. What is their reaction? How are they responding to those that would be involved in something they might view as being a rebellious act?
Right. Well, first of all, I should point out that this was big news in Israel, and for whatever reason, it didn't make the American media. So this is definitely a breaking story. Mm-hmm. Now, it could be that perhaps people don't want to let it get out, but I think it's important for people to be aware that there are negotiations going on, that there is a rebellion in Iran. So to what extent it'll be remains to be seen, because as with all totalitarian regimes, there's great repression. That's how they deal with demonstrations and protests. So in recent days, 125 officials, including members of the IRGC, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, have been arrested, and they've been charged with spying. And other officials have either been removed from their posts or have disappeared entirely. Nobody knows where they are. So clearly, that's what happens with a totalitarian regime, just as in the old Soviet Union, or in China, where people can just suddenly disappear and nobody hears from them again. Mm-hmm. So that's the situation, and so we're all watching those developments very carefully to see what happens, and of course the American officials are watching it very closely as well.
Well, friends, David is right. This has been largely absent from media here within the United States about these secretive meetings going on with individuals, Iranians or people from Iran, a meeting in Iraq in the capital of the Kurdish region there, and some high-level talks that are going on, much to the chagrin of those who are in the leadership of Iran. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to talk more about this drone that came down and how the U.S. responded to it, as well as the increasing tensions between Israel and Iran. This is Crosstalk on VCY America, back in just a minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, fossils are found in some pretty strange places sometimes, aren't they?
Yes, indeed they are, Chris. Usually they're found entombed in sedimentary rock, which originally was sediments that were laid down by moving water, but since then has hardened into stone, allowing the dead things to harden into fossils. But sometimes the fossils are found in truly weird areas. In a place in Britain, mud continually bubbles up out of an underground spring. It's not just water, it's mud. But with the mud often pops up a fossil. It might be a clam or a brachiopod, but it's in a pristine state of preservation. This is weird, but one thing I know is that it fits nicely within the general picture of the great flood of Noah's day, the one that's mentioned back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
We'll be right back.
listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Today we're taking you right to Israel. David Rubin is there. He is a former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. And he is there giving analysis from his perspective and being in Israel as to the goings-on with Iran at this time and the threats coming from Iran. Iran has long promised nuclear weaponry, and they're trying to point their fingers now, saying, well, this is because of the new sanctions from the Trump administration. But, folks, this has been their goal all along. David is there. He is the author of the book, Trump and the Jews. And, David, just before we get back into our discussion here, just give us a minute overview of what that book is about, Trump and the Jews, and how our listeners can obtain it.
Well, Trump and the Jews is about the challenges in the age of Trump and the Jewish community. How does the Jewish community relate to President Trump? And you know, because I saw President Trump doing all these great things for Israel and the relationship, strengthening that relationship between Israel and the United States. And it didn't make sense to me that there were so many Jews that opposed him, so many American Jews that strongly opposed him. But I know for a fact that there are many American Jews that think he's doing a great job. So I said, let me explore this. This really has to be examined. And a big part of the book is research into the American Jewish community, as well as research into the President of the United States and his background, and how he came to be this this controversial figure that has amazingly strong proponents in the Jewish community and amazingly strong opponents in the Jewish community as well.
So it's called Trump and the Jews. How can our listeners obtain it?
Well, the best way to buy Trump and the Jews is to go to Amazon.com. Amazon.com. And by the way, if you go to Amazon.com, type in Trump and the Jews, and you have the book in no time. But I just want to point out that that the whole question of Iran, of Jerusalem being recognized as Israel's capital, and the Golan Heights being recognized as sovereign part of Israel, and the whole question of the Palestinians, who they are, what the whole controversy is about that, and President Trump's position on all of that, and the peace process, a lot of that I get into as well in the book Trump and the Jews.
Okay, again, that's available through Amazon.com. David, let's talk about this U.S. drone that Iran brought down. The Trump administration was going to have a military response, and then when they realized how many lives would be lost, they rescinded that, and he responded with more sanctions. From your perspective, you're there in Israel. Did President Trump's response go far enough, and how does Iran perceive this action from the president as a source of strength or a source of weakness?
Well, first of all, I'm not so sure that the estimated 150 people who would be killed by such a strike was the main issue. That was a stated issue, yes. But I think that President Trump is actually playing a very shrewd game here. And when you're playing a shrewd game, you don't always say exactly what's on your mind when it comes to a conflict of this kind. The major element, and for those who know President Trump and remember how he spoke during the election campaign, the major element when dealing with adversaries overseas is the element of surprise. And President Trump is a great advocate of the element of surprise. So if they hit down a drone, an American drone, and so obviously is an aggressive act, and it's an aggressive act should be countered. At the same time, President Trump doesn't want them to know exactly when he's going to hit them, and he doesn't want to telegraph a response. So the response in Syria when Syria needed to be attacked, so it was firm, it was hard, and it was quick. In attacking Iran, President Trump doesn't want to do it until he knows that he is choosing the moment when it's going to be done. And as I said, the element of surprise is very important, and it's important not to let the enemy dictate when your response is going to be, because then they're going to be prepared for it.
Not only are there tensions that are increasing between the United States and Iran, but as you know, David, you're in Israel. There's also increasing tensions between Israel and Iran. Iran has threatened a missile attack on a nuclear power plant in Israel. They continue to threaten to annihilate Israel. We have the chairman of the Iranian Parliament's National Security and Foreign Policy Commission saying if the U.S. attacks us, only half an hour will remain of Israel's lifespan. Yesterday, we have Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Yahoo has warned warning Iran that Israel's F-35s can reach anywhere in the Middle East. So if you would address these continued threats against Israel by Iran and how you see Israel's response during this time.
Well, we've been preparing for those threats or inevitable attacks for a long time. So the Israeli Air Force knows how to defend itself and knows how to go on the offense as well. So I'm not going to get into the details of all of that. We've proven ourselves in the past with the destruction of the Iraqi nuclear reactor, with the destruction of the Syrian nuclear reactor. Those were easy ones, granted, relatively. And the Iranian situation is much more complicated, and obviously whatever is done will be done with coordination, in coordination with the United States administration.
Well, we know the U.S. has also been warned by Iran against a military attack. They've told us, think of an attack only if you want to change the color of the Persian Gulf waters from blue to red. Are they just blowing a lot of hot air, outrageous rhetoric, or is this a very credible threat by Iran?
Well, they are blowing a lot of hot air, but they do have a pretty substantial military, and if we come to a military conflict, and I'm emphasizing if, I'm hoping that it won't come to that, but but if it comes to a military conflict, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. But sometimes a conflict has to be had, and sometimes wars have to be had, even if they're not easy. I am hopeful that this rebellion within the Iranian regime will prove to be much more significant than past rebellions have been, and that there's truly the potential of having some serious negotiation with them, and if they are able to overthrow the current regime, then there could be some real potential for negotiation that will do away with that nuclear threat once and for all.
Again, David Rubin is our guest today, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. He's author of the book Trump and the Jews. David, the U.S. is saying we want to create a multinational military coalition to safeguard the waters around Iran and Yemen. We have the chairman of the U.S. Military Joint Chief of Staff saying he wants to ensure freedom of navigation in the region that provides, you know, these critical trade routes. Do you see a military coalition as being doable? Do you see other nations who would be willing to come alongside and participate in this?
Oh, clearly, and it has to be done, and it already is happening. You have the rapprochement between Saudi Arabia and Israel, and that's one of the top headlines in the news from the Middle East over the past year or so, past 2 years. I mean, it started, but it's been really picking up steam in the past year. With the help of the Trump administration. So that's an important coalition in the Middle East, Israel, Saudi Arabia, and the smaller countries in the Persian Gulf that stand with Saudi Arabia. Then you have the Europeans, and with I predict that if Boris Johnson wins the prime ministership in the U.K., that we will soon see him on board as well, because he obviously has has a certain understanding of what's really happening in the Middle East. He doesn't look at the Middle East or at Iran with rose-colored glasses, as many people in the European Union do.
So, indeed, you point out that some of the primary targets or enemies here are Israel, the United States, Europe, and you mentioned Saudi Arabia. Many may not understand, why is Saudi Arabia listed among those?
Well, Saudi Arabia is a relatively large country in the Middle East. They are based in the Persian Gulf. They're their largest oil exporting country in the world, and they, well, I know the United States is becoming a pretty good oil exporter as well, but in the Persian Gulf, certainly Saudi Arabia is still number one, and they are a target because they are Sunni Muslims. And for people who don't know out there in radio land, the Sunni Muslims are not the same as the Shiite Muslims. The Shiite Muslims are the Iranians. They are the leading Shiite country, and Saudi Arabia is the leading Sunni country. And so they are at odds. They do not like each other. They do not trust each other. And the Saudis are very, very concerned, as are the Egyptians and the Omanis and the UAE and several other countries in the Persian Gulf.
David, last Saturday, WND.com ran this story, and they talk about this new report from authorities in Germany warning that Iran has been researching possible targets for terror. Jihad Watch also said Iran has been sending out spies to Europe to scout sites for jihad massacres. And so that brings Europe into the picture again here. Are you familiar with these kind of reports and these spying operations going on out there?
Certainly, and they are real. Those reports are real. They are legitimate for the most part, and you have to understand that Europe is dealing with a very large Muslim minority now, and many of them are not friendly. Many of them are not. Many of those recent Muslim immigrants are really undercover that are trying to eventually overthrow the European countries that they live in and to turn them into Muslim countries. That is the goal. So Europe is very concerned. They're living in a glass house. And the question is, are they going to wake up to that and do something about it?
David, one other aspect here before our break, and that is something that's very important, I believe, also for our listeners to know, and that is Iran already has in place this missile delivery system. So if they are successful in making this atomic bomb, which they're threatening to do, there is indeed great danger, not only the bomb, but the delivery system for it as well.
Right, the delivery system that can hit countries in the Middle East and Europe, and they are also working feverishly on intercontinental ballistic missiles that could reach the United States.
We're going to take a quick break. David Rubin with us. And folks, we're going to approach another issue with him, and it deals with Hamas right after the break. We'll be opening up some phone lines today as well. Stay with us. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Nearly every common behavioral problem is considered to be a disease in American culture today. Gambling, overeating, and certainly drugs and alcohol. But God's Word lovingly tells us the truth about the very heart of addiction. Yet the Bible is a neglected resource for those who suffer from these so-called addictions. One of the reasons for this is that people choose to believe the theories and ideas of mankind that the disease renders them powerless to overcome the problem. However, a Christian is not powerless and has the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to enable them to say no to choices that will mentally enslave them. In the book, The Heart of Addiction, biblical counselor Mark Shaw confronts these life-dominating sins and provides biblical tools to help us examine our heart's motives at the root of addiction and how to obtain victory. The Heart of Addiction is available for a donation of $15 or more to VCY America. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking to you live from Trail Ridge Camp just outside of Hillsboro, Wisconsin. A great youth week going on this week. Many young people, and Lord's blessed us with great weather here. But at the same time, keeping a pulse on what's happening around this nation and around the world. And indeed, the question remains, will we see an atomic Iran? Iran has the desire. They've made the threats, and they have been working feverishly for this to take place. They've got the delivery system in place already to launch nuclear weapons, atomic weapons, and so hence there's great concern for this. And we're discussing and analyzing that today more from a political and militaristic viewpoint today on the broadcast. And we're talking with David Rubin. He is in Israel. He is the author of the book Trump and the Jews, which he said is available through Amazon.com. Now, and we're going to discuss Hamas here in just a moment, but friends, I also want to open the phone lines to give you opportunity to ask questions of David Rubin as we approach this from a political and militaristic position today on Crosstalk. Our lines are open at 800-733-9829. If you have a question today on this issue, a comment, 1-800-733-9829. David, while all of this is going on, I saw a story here from Breaking Israel News reporting that the entire Gaza Strip went into a war mode yesterday following this large-scale drill that included Hamas preparing for war with Israel. This happened just a day after Israel announced the discovery of yet another Hamas terror tunnel dug into its territory from the Hamas-controlled Gaza Strip. Is this looking like a preparation for war on another front?
Oh, definitely. It's not a surprise to us. Iran gets all the attention, but we actually have a few fronts, a few potential war fronts. One is Hamas, the Hamas terrorist organization, which is based in Gaza in the south. And then we have the Hezbollah terrorist organization, both heavily funded by Iran. Hezbollah is in Lebanon and also in Syria. And Israel has been battling that Hezbollah and Iranian presence in Syria. We've been attacking them from the air continuously. And this has been going on for about a year now. So yes, we do have those two potential war fronts that we're coping with at the same time that we're trying to cope with that threat from Iran.
So there's things going on, folks, at multiple fronts here against Israel, and that's been the nature of things for a long time. David, before we go to the phone lines here, I know that today that the United Nations has this emergency meeting going on. The UN Nuclear Watchdogs Board is trying to raise pressure on Iran over the breaches of the nuclear deal. Do you have any level of confidence in the United Nations and their dealing with this issue?
No, the United Nations is one big joke. Unfortunately, it's not a good joke. The words are ignored. And the words are usually very anti-Israel. So you know, the best that we can do is to ignore them.
David Rubin with us today. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. We're going to begin with line number one. We have Ed calling in from Spencer, Tennessee. Thank you for calling Crosstalk, Ed. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. I was wondering if this conflict will lead to what it says in Isaiah 17, Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. Will this lead up to that, you think?
Well, I think we're pretty close to it. Certainly, from the Iranian Civil War, we have seen what Damascus once was and what Damascus already is. It really depends on what happens with Iran. You know, if Iran is going to continue to try and set up military bases and to do so in places like Damascus, then and they're refusing the urging of Israel and perhaps in secret Russia to leave Syria, then Israel is going to continue to attack it. And yes, we know how to turn Damascus into a pile of rubble, and it may be coming to that.
Thank you, Ed, for the call from Spencer, Tennessee. We're going next to Anna, who's calling in from Plano, Texas. Hi, Anna, you're on the air.
Hi, I've got a question that has been bothering me for a while. The Jews in America, we know that they mostly are, you know, they have money. Do they support Israel? Why do they vote with the liberals in Congress? I don't understand that. We see a lot of fundraising on TV for the Jewish folks, like the Russian, the poor people in Russia. Are American Jews supporting Israel? That's my question, and why are they so liberal? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Anna.
Okay, it's a great question. Well, first of all, Adam, you know, the Jews in Russia aren't so poor, you know, so I don't know what advertisements you're referring to, but the fact is this, and this is all covered in my book Trump and the Jews, so I'm going to try and give you the short answer, Anna, but then I would suggest that you go to Amazon.com and get a copy of Trump and the Jews, because I really get into the full answer, and you will have the full answer then. But the summary, the short version, is that American Jews came to the United States mostly in the early 20th century. They came in poverty. They came. They encountered a lot of discrimination, and they moved ahead. They worked hard. They worked diligently. They learned diligently, and as a result of that, they eventually became the most successful religious group in America, at least financially. The flip side to that was that in doing so and trying to get ahead and trying to make it in America, which after all was not a Jewish country, the way to get ahead was, well, or at least in terms of their actions, they left their Jewish heritage behind. And the American Jewish community today, of all the religious groups in America, is the most secular, and as a result of that, since you know, the religious connection is very important in our Jewish identities, the American Jews have a vacuum in their lives, with the exception of the small Orthodox population, which is growing, by the way, and which tends to go with the Republicans, tends to be more conservative. The rest of the American Jewish community is very assimilated and has lost touch with its roots. So when you have a vacuum, something always comes in to take the vacuum, to take the place, fill the vacuum. And liberalism has taken the place of Judaism, unfortunately, among a large part of the American Jewish population.
David Rubin, our guest here today on Crosstalk. We have some available lines at 1-800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. We have the increased threat by Iran for nuclear weapons. We see how nations are being targeted, Israel being one of them, and of course Saudi Arabia, the United States, Europe as well, by this power that, they have vowed to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, off the face of the map. And today we're taking your calls, your questions on the issue as we approach this more from a militaristic, a political perspective, a geography perspective. Our number 800-733-9829. Let's go next to line number 3. We have Julie calling in from Duluth, Minnesota. Hi, Julie, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. I would like to know, what does your guest think of the responsibility that may be attributed to Barack Obama and Valerie Jarrett and that administration for what's happening with Iran right now? And I'll take the answer off the air.
Thank you.
Well, certainly they bear a major responsibility, but they're, they're not the only ones. The previous administrations, the Bush administration, the Clinton administration, they all looked the other way. And as a matter of looking the other way, a result of looking the other way, it reached a peak point already during the Obama administration, and then President Obama looked the other way, and then he imposed some mild sanctions, and then he removed the sanctions with that horrible Iran deal being signed, which basically gave them the right to continue with their full speed with their nuclear program in certain facilities in Iran, while in other facilities there were certain restrictions that were placed on it.
Thank you, Julie, for the call. Our number 800-733-9829. Let's go to Norman calling in from Greenfield, Wisconsin. Hi, Norman. You're on the air.
I have a question on the Prime Minister's wife and her difficulties in Israel. I understand she was fined and for something to do with a catering service going to her house. And my second question is, who exactly is the Prime Minister running against going into September? Thank you.
Okay. Address the controversy, first of all, with the Prime Minister's wife, if you would, David.
Okay. The controversy with the Prime Minister's wife, kind of makes the charges of the Mueller investigation seem incredibly serious. It's the most ridiculous thing. You're talking about whether she spent too much money on catering in the Prime Minister's office or in their other residence. That's what it's all about. Whether she was a bit rough on the people who worked in the Prime Minister's residence. That's what it's all about. But sometimes the left, goes after whoever they can go after to get at the Prime Minister, and they're pretty good at character assassination, as you know, in America.
Okay, now we're also looking at an upcoming election again for Israel's Prime Minister. Was not able to establish a coalition. Who is the primary contender for Benjamin Netanyahu at this point?
It's as you know, we're a parliamentary system. We don't vote for a prime minister. We vote for a party, and then the leader of the usually largest party is the one that's recommended to form a governing coalition. So the two largest parties are the Likud of Benjamin Netanyahu and the Blue and White Party of Benny Gantz. And so Netanyahu is right of center, Gantz is left of center, and then there's an assortment of smaller parties, some of which may have serious influence in the forming of whatever coalition be developed. But it's going to be pretty close between Gantz and Netanyahu.
We need to take a break. Back in just a minute. David Rubin with us today, author of the book Trump and the Jews. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Well, we're seeing the rise of anti-Semitism in America and around the world. And the Bible said this would occur, but the Bible also condemns it. In fact, the Bible says in Genesis 12, I'll bless those who bless you, I'll curse those who curse you. We're seeing history repeat itself. We're seeing church denominations embracing isms that were embraced by those denominations that dissolved their denominations and united under the Reich Bishop handpicked by Adolf Hitler. The isms they were embracing then included such things as existentialism, subjective truth. They embraced things like romanticism, the worship of nature, Darwinianism, evolutionism, another word for it, and of course socialism. Today, in the false church in America, we're seeing predominantly people embrace social justice. That's socialism, environmentalism, Darwinian evolution, and replacement theology, which at its root is anti-Semitic. It seems as though history is repeating itself.
It is nighttime in Israel right now. That's where David Rubin is as he's talking to us on Crosstalk today and answering this question of an atomic Iran. And there is much that's going on, folks, and certainly we need to be in prayer for our president that he will have wisdom on this, that he would have good advisors as he approaches this issue as things are heating up in this region of the world again and again and again. David Rubin is with us here today, and he is author of the book Trump and the Jews. Let's get right back to the phone lines, going to Mike, who is calling next from Marshfield, Wisconsin. Mike, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yes, Mr. Rubin, I have long thought that Israel would have responded to Iran's threats long before this. I think, Isaiah 17, the destruction of Damascus, ties in with all of this, and, of course, ultimately with the fulfillment of certain prophecies. My question is this: how close do you think Israel is to responding massively to the Iranian nuclear threat that is an immediate threat to them?
Okay, well, first of all, as background, several years ago, Prime Minister Netanyahu did want to respond. He did want to have a preemptive strike on Iran because of complications within the Israeli coalition and the strong opposition of President Obama. It never happened. So it could still happen. It could still happen. We're just going to have to see what goes on. As I said earlier, the preference would be for an outright rebellion in Iran, which could lead to a dismantling of the Iranian nuclear arsenal. But if the regime stays in place, then it could be that military conflict will be the ultimate solution.
And some of that dismantling may be going on right now with some of these secretive meetings.
Well, I would doubt that. I would doubt that because while we're talking the grandson of the Ayatollah Khomeini, the previous leader of Iran, he's not the leadership of Iran. So my understanding is that he is not speaking for the Iranian regime. So I don't think there's going to be too much nuclear dismantling done until the regime is overthrown.
Let's pick up our next caller from Rushville, Ohio. We have Tim, who is calling in from Rushville. Hi, Tim, you're on the air.
Yes, I was wondering, I thought it was strange that Iran and Turkey get together. I assume Turkey is Sunni. And then you have Russia kind of backing up everything. Will Iran act independently, say, from Turkey and independently from Russia? Will they just make a move? Do you think it's possible to make a move on their own without the backing of Russia or maybe cooperation with Turkey?
Well, Shiite Islamic fanatics will act on their own. They'll act with allies, but they will certainly do things without thinking very often.
Thank you for the call here, Tim. Let's move to Lake Delton, Wisconsin. We have Carl calling in. Carl, you're on the air.
Yeah, I heard Benjamin Netanyahu make the statement that as soon as they can affix a nuclear weapon on a nuclear missile in Iran, that they're going to do a preemptive strike. And when he does that, it's going to start the Ezekiel 37:3-39 scenario where Russia will attack Israel.
I'm not so sure about that, actually. At least based on the geopolitics, we have a situation where Russia has been actually cooperating with Israel. There have been meetings between Netanyahu and Putin, periodic meetings, in order to make sure that the Israeli attacks on the Iranians and the Hezbollah in Syria do not lead to out-and-out conflict with Russia. So I don't think they want a conflict, at least not at this point.
Yeah, have we seen, though, Russia having some close ties with Iran, David?
Well, certainly there are ties with Iran, and they, you know, otherwise they would have insisted a long time ago on Iran being totally removed from Syria, on Iran leaving Syria. I think it serves the purpose of Russia to have them there, at least on a limited extent. But the fact is that they are just standing by and watching as Israel attacks Iran and the Iranian military installations in Syria.
Carl, did you have a further question?
Well, you know, Russians never take them at face value anyway, because they'll stab you in the back, like all the
Thank
treaties
you.
We've made with Russia.
Thank
oh, certainly.
They can't be
trusted, but at the same time, we have to try to work with them in order to serve our purposes.
Thank you again for the call here today from Lake Delton, Wisconsin. And friends, thank you for your calls here today. David Rubin is speaking from Israel. And David, I know that many times people are frustrated with the news media that they get here in the U.S. because it has not been Israel-friendly. We're finding certain members of Congress that are not Israel-friendly, that the media likes to court as well. Where do you recommend people go to get reliable source of news regarding Israel itself?
Well, usually the best source of news about Israel is IsraelNationalNews.com. That's usually the for those who want a conservative perspective and a Jewish perspective. That's usually the best source of information.
Again, that's IsraelNationalNews.com. David, we have just less than a minute. What would you like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, I think it's important for people to understand that what's happening today with Iran and the conflicts in the Middle East and Israel, this is something that where the United States plays a pivotal role. Americans need to be on board with Israel, because not just because it's good for Israel, but because it's good for the United States. And what America gains from the shared values with Israel, what America gains from the intelligence that Israel provides is vital for the healthy survival and growth of the United States as well as of Israel. So I think we need to be standing together. I'd also like to encourage people to get the book, Trump and the Jews. Just go to Amazon.com and type in Trump and the Jews, and that will give people a real understanding of what is happening today with Trump, with the Jewish people, with Israel, with the Christian world.
We're out of time, David. We've got to leave it there. Thanks for being with us.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.